everyone. Welcome to the call today. I think we're about May 23rd. This is Kurt Mortensen. This is our weekly call. Welcome if you are new. I know we've got some people overseas listening via the internet. If you have any questions, you can always zap me through the net or ask me over the phone. The goal here is to spend 20 minutes on some persuasion tools or something that you can work on, give you some homework, open it up for questions, feedback, comments, all that fun stuff. The key here is just to get something you can think about this week to consciously apply so it becomes part of you so you can have more tools. The key is always to have more persuasion tools. That's our goal for you. So get a lot of feedback, a lot of emails on a few things that I want to address. Remember, the recording is just posted on whypersuasion.com. It's there for a week. You are able to listen to that. Now, the major cause of business failure for entrepreneurs is lack of sales, obviously, and that seems to be the thing that everybody tends to work on last, or they think they are okay. The skills we'll be talking about are 85% of your success. So it was a while back I talked about some of the common mistakes of old school persuaders. So what I want to kind of focus today is I want to talk about the 10 common mistakes of old school persuaders. Persuasion as influence has changed dramatically. And as you listen to these, I want you to pick the one that you need to work on the most. So I'm going to kind of spread it out more than I usually do because I usually focus on one tool. And I want you to think about, okay, what is the one that could be haunting me? Because what you think you're doing right or wrong is very different than what other people think you are doing right or wrong. Because when you need to persuade somebody, it is too late to learn. So let's get into the 10 common mistakes of old school persuaders that are costing people millions of dollars, and then we will open it up for questions. The first mistake of most old school persuaders is probably something very new to you. It's called the woebegone effect. Basically, what we think we're doing right or wrong is very different than what's actually happening. We tend to rate our skills higher than they actually are. We tend to think we're more athletic. We're more athletic than we actually are, more intelligent, more organized, more logical, more interesting, especially when it comes down to the basic influence skills. 90% of all people will rate their people skills as above average. We know that's not true. 90% of managers will rate their managerial skills above average. Was it the 85% of high school seniors rate their driving skills as above average? And so we have to be open to realize that what we're doing right or wrong is not necessarily what the audience thinks. Because a lot of times as I interview people, you thought they trusted you, but when I talked to them, there was no trust. That's the disconnect, and that is kind of the red cone that people keep hitting to think that they're doing okay, especially in the world of people skills. That is the biggest one. They think everything's okay. Because you know that annoying person that nobody likes, well, that could be you, and we need to really address that up front. The second one is closing skills. I need more closing skills. You've heard me say it before, like using closing skills is like trying to get a kiss after a bad date. We know that to be true. They have lost their luster. It is more important to build trust, to connect with somebody, to open them up than to close them. Great persuaders help people close themselves. There's no real need for a clever phrase. It does not work anymore. It is very, very old school. In fact, when you start using a lot of these, as I interview people, it's almost like a big sign that says road closed. Mentally, they've shut down. They're listening, but they are not going to do it. They do not want to be persuaded by you. Now, there's a time and place for these. Some still work, but be very, very careful on how you use them and when you use them. Another one I've noticed out there through research and talking to your prospects is they trust me. See, here's the challenge. Even though you're a good, trustworthy person, doesn't mean people trust you. Remember, in 30 seconds, when you've met somebody or somebody meets you, they have decided if they trust you or not. It is a perception. It can be your mannerism, your demeanor, your gestures, your word choice. And so you have to ask yourself, do they really trust you? And here are the numbers. So I'm interviewing people, and here is the persuader, and I'll talk to them after they've tried to persuade somebody, and I'll say, did they trust you? And 9 out of 10 times, they'll say yes, 90%. Then I'll interview their prospect and say, did you trust them? And it's only 1 out of 10 times, 10%. Be very careful and do not assume that they trust you, that you need to build the trust. Trust is an all-time low. And it doesn't matter how good your product is, how good your offer is, if they don't trust you, they are not going to do business with you. Number 4 is mindset. Top persuaders know and have realized that you earn what you are worth. A lot of people have challenges with this that are just starting to get into this world, but study after study shows that your mindset and what you think about money and what you're worth is in direct correlation with how much money you're going to earn. Top persuaders think that way, and they have this psychological edge, this mindset that makes them successful. If you're wondering why success is eluding you, what's taking so long, it comes back to our mindset, how we deal with challenges, how we think about things. Are we optimistic? All part of that package. I call this millionaire psychology because when you start thinking, acting, and doing what other millionaires do, you become one, but no one's really trained you how to think about money, how to think about yourself, because what we've learned about success and wealth from society, from those around us, has been wrong, and we have to change the way we think. So do you sabotage yourself? Are you a very negative person? Do you suck the life out of people? You don't have to answer that out loud, but something to think about. Mindset is a critical aspect of success. Because a lot of people have a mindset that is kind of like a skinny piggy bank where they just can't fit it in there. Did you know that 95% of all those that win over $1 million in lottery or through gambling will be bankrupt within 5 years? We see this even with commissioned salespeople. They think they're $100,000 a year people, and it's October, and they've made it, but we see sabotage. They're trying to work hard. They're trying to make more money, but there's a roadblock there mentally for them. Again, I'll say it again. You earn what you feel you are worth. That is number 4. Number 5 is the number of tools. Most people only use 3 to 4 persuasion techniques. There are over 100. As Maslow says, if the only tool in your toolbox is a hammer, you're going to treat everyone like a nail. You see, your default setting as a human being is that you tend to persuade others how they like to be persuaded. No, you need to learn to adapt your presentation, adjust it to the person, use a different tool, and quit using the same things over and over again. Because you need to persuade them how they want to be persuaded. You need to get more tools. I don't care if it's just a tool you use once a year, but if it gets that client, closes that big deal, you need to have that tool. That's the only tool that's going to work in that situation. If you're not used to using it, if you don't even know about it, it will really hold you back in your ability to persuade and influence. Number 6, I'm going to say it, vomit. Big complaint as I interview people is that you tend to vomit on people. Here are the 12 reasons. Here are the 15 reasons. Here are the 72 reasons. It is a data dump. It is a data dump. You're talking too much. And what that means is that you're over-persuading. The studies show that you're talking 3 times too much. Now, why do people do this? Why do people vomit? Because it works every once in a while. Every once in a while, you can vomit 3 or 4 things and one's going to stick, but a lot of times you're giving them reasons not to do it. You just need to find the 1 or 2 reasons and fill in the blanks later. This is huge. It's so easy to do. We're excited about our product. We're excited about our business, but then we just data dump. Great persuaders are better at asking questions. They're better at interviewing people, And if you really, truly learn how to listen, you'll have enough information to ask the right questions and help them persuade themselves. This is a huge mistake. Most people don't say anything while you're vomiting on them, but it does suck the life out of them, and you'll get the knee-jerk reactions they need to think about it. Which brings us to number 7, objections are good. Old school training and persuasion and influence have taught you objections are good. I'm telling you, no, they're not. When I study objection psychology, I have found that when somebody has a question or an objection, it's like them hitting a brick wall. They have stalled, they have stopped, they're not moving, they are stuck. Now, your presentation keeps going, whether it's face-to-face or over the phone. They have hit this brick wall, and that's what they're thinking about, the question, the objection. What I have found that great persuaders actually inoculate, it's called inoculation, where they pre-solve objections before they happen. That is your goal. That is what you want to do. Now, you're not going to get 100% of them every time, but if you keep getting the same ones over and over again, learn to inoculate, pre-solve them. Don't let them come up because it really hurts your ability to not only connect and stay connected, but it hurts your ability to persuade them because their brain's stuck. They're not even listening. You keep going, and it brings up what's called the persuasion pitfall where you don't know. They never tell you the truth. When you hear it's too expensive, I need to think about it, talk to a spouse, more information, go to your website, give me a brochure, 67% of the time that is a lie. They're just trying to get rid of you because they're stuck on an objection. There's a question they don't want to ask. Their brain is not in it. Pre-solve objections before they happen. We get on to number 8, but one last quick thing on objections is learn to read people. Because a lot of people are so concerned about what to say next that they miss out on the body language of the person to know that they have a question or an objection. Number 8, I'm okay. What does that mean? Well, first of all, open it up further. Any questions right now? I got a couple coming in. I'll go ahead and address those here in a little bit. I'm okay. What does that mean? Well, it means that you are always thinking about personal development. As I look at very successful people, they spend time working on their personal development programs. There's a direct correlation between the seminars or the books or the webinars or the people that you work with and your success. Most homes worth over $1 million, they have a library. A Harvard study shows that those who are learning and growing every day, they're more optimistic, they're more enthusiastic about life and what they're doing. Don't get caught in the world, I'll figure it out on my own. Someone else has figured out, find them, and you'll learn it much faster. Realize that we are a project, and we need to work on ourselves. This is important. We've never arrived in our people skills. We've never arrived in our persuasion skills. Always learn to improve, because every time you improve yourself, you're going to improve your income. Learn to benchmark other people. Take successful people out to lunch. Pick their brain, whether they're in your industry, whether they're people that are successful to other industries, whether they're millionaires. Take them out to lunch. Pick their brain. Have meetings with them. Find out what they are doing. And know your numbers. This is what successful people do. They know that with their marketing, they'll get 10 leads. And with those 10 leads, 5 will return those calls. Out of those 5, maybe 3 will be persuaded by you. So as you increase your persuasion skills, maybe you'll make it 4, make it 5, maybe your marketing will go up to 20. You need to know your numbers so, A, you can figure out how much money you're going to earn this year, and, B, how much you are improving. You need to be able to understand that we're always working on ourselves through personal development. We are looking at other people to improve ourselves through benchmarking and always knowing our numbers. The 9th one is price versus value. Too many people fight on price. Price is not an issue. Do not fight on price. Only 6% of the things that we buy are bought on price. Do you realize that? You don't go to McDonald's every day and the thrift store every day. When the value's there, it is persuasive. Consumers don't buy on price, they buy on value. And you have to understand that when they say it's too expensive, like I mentioned before, it is a knee-jerk reaction. That is what you have to understand about price versus value. What is in their mind? Do not fight on price. Build the value. When you get the price, and you've done it the right way, they'll say, that's it. And even if they can't afford it, they realize that there's great value there. Rookies can fight on price. Anybody can fight on price. But your job is to build the value, to help them understand that, okay, I'm trading $20 for $100. That's easy. You've built the value. Too many persuaders are always fighting on price. And when you hear that knee-jerk reaction, it's too expensive, you also have to think, well, maybe you've blown your presentation. You did not build the value. And drum roll for number 10, I can connect with anyone. I'm a people person. Really? Are you sure? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about some of the shifts in persuasion. We know now that introverts actually out-persuade extroverts. That's a big shift in the world of persuasion. Introverts now out-persuade extroverts. Why? Well, extroverts come across as salespeople. Nobody wants to be sold. Introverts, they listen, they ask more questions, they come across as consultants. So are you consulting or are you selling? Nobody should be selling, you should be consulting. Because when you're the expert and you're the consultant and they trust you and they like you, there's very little persuasion resistance. Do people like you? Can you connect with them? Can you really do this? Now, they're going to be nice to you, so a lot of times we think we've connected, but that's not true. We have to understand the world of subconscious triggers. And that was the big eye-opener for me when I've done all this research on persuasion and influence, is that up to 95% of influence and persuasion involves a subconscious trigger. I like this person, I don't like this person, I trust this person, I don't trust this person. And it could be a color, a smell, a gesture. It could be a word choice. All these things come into play because we follow that instinct, that intuition, that impulse when we meet other people, and they're doing the same thing to you. So learn to connect. Don't think, just like trust, that you've automatically connected with anyone, that you've automatically connected with them. And here are the brutal facts. Here are the numbers. When people like you and trust you, you have a 90% chance of persuasion. When they don't like you and they don't trust you, you have a 10% chance. And that's why I wanted to focus on the 10 common mistakes of old school persuaders. So before we open for questions, I want you to think about, okay, which one is it? Which one is the one that's really holding you back? And I want you to choose that one and come up with a game plan as far as how you're going to adjust it, how you're going to fix it this week. And I'm going to mention probably the top ones that you might need to be thinking about as I interview upcoming persuaders. The first one you need to think about is trust. Okay, do people trust you? Is that the one? Even though you're a good person, do people trust you? Other one that's a big roadblock is mindset. Is your brain really programmed for success and wealth? Do you really feel like you're worth it, that you can do it, that you should increase your income, that you can change the world, that you can earn what you're worth? Okay? Or is it going to be the number of tools you have? Do you have enough tools? Do you get stuck on the vomit where you're really not listening, you're just data dumping? Do you get stuck on objections? Objections are good. You have to get the same objections over and over again. Now, here's one that's come up that you need to understand about objections, is the objection you get the most is the objection you still have. Meaning, if you're getting the same objections over and over again, either you're not addressing it in your presentation or it's an objection that you still have. Meaning, if you keep getting it's too expensive, deep down you don't think it is worth it. Just something to think about it. And the last one is, are you able to connect with other people? So think about those. letting them know ways if you want to, you know, audio support or places to listen to improve on these things. You can send me an email on whitepersuasion.com. We'll post the recording on whitepersuasion.com. And then we'll also answer your questions. So if you have any questions, just zap me through the net, or you can ask me over the phone. Any other questions for those doing replay or those overseas, you can do that on whitepersuasion.com. The recording, you don't need to log in. You just click on recording up top, and that will give you the recording for this week. Give us 24 hours to put that up. I did get one question about price. It's too expensive. You know, that's a relative. That's what holds a lot of people back. When I'm doing seminars, for example, I'll hold up a $20 bill and I'll sell it for about a dollar. I will. So someone runs out, gives me a dollar bill, and I sell it to them, and they're all excited. And they sit down, and I say to them, don't you need to think about it? You talk to your spouse, you want to see my brochure, go to the website, you don't want to read my books, you don't want to do that? And they're like, no. Why? Because the value's there. If you have challenges with that, watch an infomercial and watch how they build the value to it, how they add the bonuses, how they reduce it to the ridiculous, how they sweeten the pot when they say, but wait, there's more. Again, it's a no-brainer. Nobody wants to change $20 for $20, but if I'm changing $20 for $1, as you build the value in your presentation, it becomes easy to do that. A lot of times when we data dump, that also hurts your ability to build price. Another question to talk about, Kurt, how do you suggest that I benchmark? And this is what successful businesses do, and this is what successful entrepreneurs do, is you find the people who are the best at what they do and take them to lunch. And I've interviewed a lot of top producers. One of the questions I've asked them is anybody here, so there's 50 persuaders, anybody here that's ever asked you to lunch? And a lot of times the answer is no. It's very rare someone will ask me to lunch. And I say, would you be willing to do that? Would you go out to lunch? I'm like, sure, I'd do that. But people think, oh, they're busy, they won't do it. A lot of times the top producers, well, they got a better area, the boss likes them better, you know, all these little things that come into play. But hey, they need to eat. They're more than happy for you to buy them lunch. They are flattered that you are asking their advice, and they are more than willing to do that. Good question. Another question here about, Kurt, how do I know if I've connected with somebody? Well, that's a whole other training, but if it's face-to-face, I'm just going to give you a few tidbits here. If it's face-to-face, look at their shoulders. Are their shoulders squared up with you? Look at their feet. Are their feet pointing at you? So if your shoulders are not squared up with you, you haven't connected. If their feet aren't pointed at you, you haven't connected. If they're mirroring and matching you, you've connected. If you can see their head kind of shake up and down, you've connected. If you look at their face and there's no emotion there, it's the emotion's left, that means they're kind of indifferent, you haven't connected. Now, over the phone, it's a little more challenging, but you can hear that, a little more energy in their voice. They're quicker to ask or answer questions. You will also feel a little more of a connection yourself as you ask questions and as they respond. Good question. Any questions over the phone line? Or I guess you can zap them to the net. I'll take those now. Any other questions? One here. How do I stop vomiting? Yeah. That is programmed in a lot of people. That's harder to quit than you think. You just need to remember that you should, first of all, ask 3 times more questions and realize 1 or 2 things that they're interested in. The best thing to do is to formulate 3 times more questions to find out exactly what they need, reveal your product or service, we're going to solve that challenge, here you go, and get them enrolled, get them going, and then fill in the blanks. People don't need to know everything there is to know about your product or service. When you buy a car or a photocopier or software, you don't want to, you don't need to know everything that it does or will do or might do or could do. It's just too much. You just want to know that it, you know, software, the defense, and it spell checks. Everything else is a bonus later on that you don't even care about. Another helpful thing there is recording yourself and kind of listen to yourself. If you're interrupting people, that's a sign of a vomiter. If you are assuming what features or benefits they want, that would be a sign of a vomiter too. All right. Any other questions? All right. We'll be here again next week. Any comments, suggestions, or topics you want to hear about, you can again hit on whypersuasion.com. There's a contact us form. I'll take those personally. Work on one of the things that we talked about today. This call is a little different. Usually I focus on kind of one tool, but today I kind of spread it out a little bit to kind of give you a bigger picture to choose kind of the one that's holding you back, because these are the common mistakes that most old school persuaders are using or doing that you can easily change. So with that, go out there wishing you massive success. Wish you the ability to go out and make the world a better place, change lives. Remember, when you really believe in your product, your service, your idea, your mission, your charity, whatever it is, you have a moral and ethical obligation to persuade people, because if you don't, somebody else with an inferior product or inferior service will persuade them. So with that, everyone have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.